This is .NET Cast with hosts Mark Baker and Nick Hemdahl.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.
And now introducing your host for .NET Cast, Mark Baker.
Welcome to .NET Cast. I'm your host, Mark Baker. Thanks for joining us again. With me tonight is my co-host, Nick Hemdahl. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mark. We're going to have another great show tonight on .NET. And don't forget, you can always find us on the web at www.ddj.com/podcast/.NET Cast/.
Tonight we're going to talk with Brian Noyes of iDesign about smart client technology, including ClickOnce. Brian is the Microsoft Regional Director for the Mid-Atlantic, a recognized guru on ClickOnce, and a former U.S. Naval Top Gun F-14 pilot. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So, Brian, let's get started with this question about smart clients. You know, there's a lot of questions out there about what is a smart client and how it differs from a traditional fat desktop client. A lot of people asking, you know, what is this thing called a smart client? Is this just a buzzword or what is it? So how do you frame that for people in terms of the differences between what Microsoft would call a smart client and a traditional fat desktop client?
It's a great question. I actually try to start. I do a lot of conference talks on various smart client technologies, and I usually try to lead off with exactly that because there is a lot of misconceptions out there, and part of it is because to a certain degree, it really is a buzzword,
right,
and you can't get everyone to agree on exactly what it means. But there are some common attributes, I would say, about smart clients that most people sort of agree on that distinguish them from just a fat client or a standalone monolithic application on the desktop. Some of those things are, first and foremost, it does have to have a rich UI. So you're in a .NET world, you're talking about a Windows Forms client, maybe a Visto, Visual Studio Tools for Office client, or a smart device. But you're definitely not talking about a web browser. And I think we'll touch later on Ajax and how that relates.
Right, right.
That definitely starts to factor into trying to understand this stuff as well. So that's kind of the key thing. It's a Windows desktop application running with the full resources of the local client machine. Another aspect, and the rest of these, that's kind of a prerequisite. You know, you can't be a browser-based app and be a smart client. But the rest of these attributes are really things that they're not prerequisite, but they are common attributes that a lot of smart clients share. So one thing is being a distributed app.
Right.
Typically, a smart client is just a front end for a bigger system. You're usually not talking about a standalone application on the user's desktop, not something like Word or Excel on their own. Typically, you're going to be tapping into a database, minimum, talking over web services, some sort of distributed application. Let's see. Another attribute is running securely on the client. And that generally in a .NET context means taking advantage of code access security to protect the client machine and make sure that app only does what it's designed to do. And you can take advantage of that directly through, if you actually install the smart client on the desktop, you can use some of the configuration and ability to tweak the .NET runtime security policy.
Right.
To protect the machine, but more often what we're talking about here kind of goes hand in hand with the next attribute is supporting automatic deployment and update. In .NET 2.0 terms, that really boils down to ClickOnce, which we'll be talking more about. But ClickOnce has its own security mechanisms that help protect the client desktop along the lines of what I was talking about. And then, the last attribute is actually one of the most complicated ones for people to sort out because there's not really anything built in to solve it, and it's one of the more complicated aspects, and that is supporting offline operations.
Mm.
One of the design goals of ClickOnce itself for deployment is to allow you to automatically deploy the client through ClickOnce but then be able to operate offline. But the offline aspects of ClickOnce are kind of separate from what I'm talking about now. This is more the ongoing operations of the client application being able to do something meaningful while it's offline, which usually involves client-side data caching and then synchronization when you connect back up to whatever that back-end system is that you normally talk to. So those five attributes, being a rich client, being a distributed application, running securely on the client, supporting automatic deployment and update, and then supporting offline activity, are kind of the five key attributes, I would say, of a smart client.
So you're saying this company is looking at this more as an alternative to something like a web-based app?
Yeah, I mean, anything that you could do with a smart client, ultimately, well, not anything, but most things that you would do with a smart client have typically been done with browser-based apps in the past. I mean, one of the main emphasis of the smart client thrust these days is to try and take applications that were built in the past as web apps,
right,
mainly for maintenance reasons. There's thousands or hundreds of thousands of apps out there that people built in a enterprise, local intranet-type environment where they built it as a web app just because it meant that they can walk up to a single server, drop some files on there, and they're done with the deployment. And until ClickOnce came along, there wasn't a real good solution for rich client applications to have the same ease of deployment and ease of maintenance. Mm. ClickOnce kind of solved that for us.
See, are you thinking that, or I guess the way you're putting this is that if somebody has an application which has, let's say, some of these qualities but not necessarily all of them, is that still a smart client type application, or is that like a smart client light type application?
No, I would say if you're a rich client application running on the user's desktop, not in the browser, you could even call Word a smart client application, and it would fit the basic definition of the rule, which is it's running on the user's desktop. But really, that's more of just a fat client to me. I would say it would have to have at least one of those other attributes, being distributed or having automatic deployment or doing offline or some combination of those things. If it has at least one of those other attributes, then I would call it a smart client. Otherwise, I'd just say it's a fat client.
I know there's an interesting attribute of device adaptability. And I mean, have you seen anything other than like a traditional desktop PC used in smart clients? I mean,
and that's an interesting question too, because that's another place that you get kind of differing opinions on what constitutes a smart client. Hmm. Some people would distinguish and say that a smart client is only a desktop application, not a smart device application. And they make this clean distinction between mobile apps that are intended to run on other devices other than a laptop or a desktop and device-oriented stuff. I would say any kind of client technology could satisfy the basic billing of a smart client, but I do usually try to make a distinction, make it very clear when I'm talking about a mobile-enabled application that can run on multiple devices versus one that's just targeted for a Windows XP-type desktop.
So I guess, I mean, that leads into another question, which is, what situations would you say that are actually good candidates for something like a smart client versus maybe a web app or even a traditional fat client, when somebody's trying to make that decision as to which route they go down? Is it really just an issue of if they need a really rich UI, that sort of starts the discussion around, well, if you want to do that, trying to do that in a web browser is going to be very difficult, if not impossible. So you're really looking at a desktop client and then trying to find a way to adapt that to a distributed environment.
Exactly. I mean, kind of have to look at what was the web designed for and what have we twisted it into over time.
Right.
The web is excellent for delivering content. Static content, maybe dynamic content driven by back-end data and stuff, but it's for spitting stuff out to a browser. And over time, we've twisted it into an application platform where we have all kinds of interactive data entry and that kind of stuff that you do through the browser, but that's not really what it was designed for in the first place, and it's not really what it's good at. So the first distinction in my mind is, what are you doing when you say you're creating an application? Are you creating an application that's mainly presenting information to the user or collecting information from the user? And if there's a lot of data collection from the user, that's something I would immediately prefer to do in a smart client for the sake of the user.
Mm.
So any kind of, especially when you start getting into any kind of heads-down data entry, very interactive stuff, things where you have to go through a lot of different steps to define the final state of whatever it is you're working on. So you think about one of the classic web applications is the shopping cart metaphor, going out, doing your shopping, looking for items, finding them in a catalog, picking what you want, making your choices, and finally checking out, saying, yeah, that's what I want, providing information to make the purchase, going through a step-by-step process to give all the information so that you can finally complete the order. And over time, we've developed ways to do that fairly robustly on the web. But that specific scenario is actually something that's even a lot easier to satisfy in a smart client application because of the stateful nature of it.
Right.
The fact that you're going step to step to step, and there's this ongoing session and concept of state from the user's perspective, that's actually, you know, from an implementation perspective, it's fairly hard to do that correctly in a web browser. So client applications hold state very nicely. Web applications don't. You have to resort to workarounds to make that all work out correctly. So especially for even more complicated scenarios, when you think of very data-intensive operations, a lot of the clients I've worked with are things like insurance industry or leases and things where they got to go out and look up client information and see what kind of policy they have and see what their past history is, and they got to go collect and reference lots of different pieces of information in the process of a single business transaction. And when you think about those kind of applications, that's something that's very well suited to a smart client, is because you can pull all that state into memory, have it right there resident on the client at the user's fingertips, and give them kind of this rich, stateful, interactive experience for working with the data.
Yeah, you could see cases where companies have applications which have very high productivity needs from their end users, where they have to be able to move through a form very rapidly and key in data very quickly, not have any lag time between moving between forms, and they need custom controls or complex controls that do various types of behavior that need to run execute very quickly, and that's just tough to do.
Yes,
in
exactly.
A web browser.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely, if you're talking any kind of, you know, the way we typically categorize that as heads down data entry.
Right.
I've had customers that are like tax agencies where, you know, they get stacks of forms from people out, you know, the people out there paying their taxes send in the paper forms, and they have to key in every piece of information on that form. Could you do that in the browser? Certainly. Would those users who are doing the data input be as productive as they could with a rich client? Not at all. So you can have an immense time savings, a productivity savings for the end users when you're talking about that kind of data intensive operations.
Right.
From the SCSF workshop we attended at Microsoft, I think there was a big case study with Dell where they actually had abandoned a web-based call center app to more of a rich client, smart client app.
Yeah, that was fascinating too.
You know, so we decided to create a smart client now. What, from your experiences, what are the most, you know, frequent or the most frequent and challenging requirements in developing a smart client?
Well, one of the biggest challenges often is if the developers are coming from that previous world of we used to do this in a web app. Such a different paradigm developing a Windows app. It's actually, once you get over the learning hurdle, it's much more productive, much easier to get the same kind of application put together. But there's always that first learning hurdle if they're coming from a web background. Also, depending on their previous language background, if they're coupling that with their first .NET application is going to be a smart client application, and they're coming from like a VB background or a classic ASP background, then they've got multiple technology hurdles they're trying to overcome. But if you're talking about a .NET developer who's been doing other stuff and this is going to be their first smart client app, usually the things that are the most challenging aspect are some of those attributes I talked about that distinguish a smart client. So in particular, the most common question I get asked, and like I mentioned before, unfortunately there's not a package solution that I can just point them to for this, is supporting offline operations.
Hmm.
So the classic scenario for this is like the insurance or sales agent in the field. They go out with their laptop, meet with customers, pull up some history information, make decisions, enter policy information, that kind of stuff, while they're offline in the field working on their laptop. So they have to have a certain amount of data resident on the laptop. We call that reference data. And so you have to have a mechanism for populating the mobile application with the reference data so it's available when they're in the field. And then when they're interacting with that data and putting new information in, creating a new policy and so on, price quotes, whatever it may be, then when they come back and connect to their network, you need a way to synchronize that data. And if it's just a pure data entry type scenario, it's fairly easy to do because it's just pushing data that's been created from scratch on the client into the back-end systems. But where it gets more complicated is when you're talking about something like an existing customer record, that they've pulled that data down, they've gone out into the field in a disconnected way, and they've modified that data, and then they come back and connect. And if they're the only ones working with that data, then it's not too hard. But if while they've been offline, someone at the home office has been updating, they got an address change from the customer by mail in the meantime, and they put in an address change, now you get into those data synchronization scenarios where the server-side record has changed in the meantime, the client-side record has changed in a different way, and you have to get into these complex data reconciliation scenarios that there's just no, you know, easy way to generalize that to any given scenario.
Well, that's all for this episode of .NET Cast. Send us an email at .NETcast@sunburstsoftware.com and let us know what you think of the show. Take care, everybody.
The opinions expressed on .NETcast are solely those of the participants and not necessarily those of its sponsors or CMP Media, its partners or employees. .NETcast is a CMP DevNet podcast and is produced by Sunburst Software at sunburstsoftware.com. Additional production support has been provided by Digital Context at digitalcontext.com. CMP DevNet is solely responsible for the content of .NETcast.
Sign up for the SD Expo mailing list to receive conference updates and the 2006 conference catalog. Go to www.sdexpo.com.